Welcome back to All of It on WNYC. I'm Shamita Basu, sitting in for Allison Stewart. And now it's time to take a trip through WNYC's archives with the station's chief archivist, Andy Lancet. This week, in anticipation of Walt Whitman's 200th birthday this coming Friday, we're taking a look at New York Public Radio's coverage of Whitman over the years. So Andy, hi, welcome back to All of It.
Thank you.
To start us off, what is the earliest evidence that you can find of the station covering Whitman and his legacy?
Well, I've done some checking and we've looked back at Whitman coverage that goes back to the 1920s, at least as early as December 6, 1927, when City College professor C.F. Horn was paying tribute to the Bard. And there are several tributes to be found in the collection in the 40s and 50s. And what one thing I've pulled here, actually from WQXR, is Columbia professor Gilbert Hyatt's fairly liberal take on the Whitman legacy in 1959 over QXR.
Well, I think that just as everyone would say the great American statesman of the middle 19th century was Abraham Lincoln, so the great American poet was Walt Whitman. In many ways, this is a right choice. Walt Whitman sang a new song for a new country. He proclaimed that sexual activity and sexual awareness were healthy, were necessary, were a sort of sacrament, and nowadays we follow this creed and practice it. He was friendly and open-hearted and passionately democratic. He was boldly original, yet usually easy to understand, and the form of his poems was a winning compromise between the swinging rhythms and oracular phrasing of the Old Testament and a modern free verse with no nonsense about sensitive rhythms or elaborate rhymes. Yes, from our point of view at least, Walt Whitman is the great American poet of the 19th century.
What a positive review. So it seems fair to say that Whitman has largely been revered by people on the station. Is that fair?
Yes, in fact, barely an anniversary has gone by without the station paying some tribute to him in some way. His deep roots in New York City, both birth and death, have been cause for countless celebrations over the years. And take a listen to a montage from what was a massive Symphony Space production put together on the anniversary of Whitman's death in 1992.
Good morning. I'm Isaiah Scheffer, Artistic Director of Symphony Space, and for the next 12 hours, we will be presenting Leaves of Grass, an extraordinary live, literary, historical, and musical event, and we'll be recording it for broadcast this coming May on WNYC New York Public Radio. We start with Elizabeth McGovern, who plays Ophelia in that production, reading from Leaves of Grass, Walt Whitman's 1888 poem, Broadway.
What hurrying human tides, or day or night? What passions, winnings, losses, ardors swim thy waters? What whirls of evil, bliss, and sorrows stem thee? What curious questioning glances, glints of love, leer, envy, scorn, contempt, hope, aspiration, thou portal, thou arena, thou of the myriad long-drawn lines and groups, could but thy flagstones, curbs, facades tell their inimitable tales, thy windows rich and huge hotels, thy sidewalks wide, thou of the endless sliding, mincing, shuffling feet, thou, like the party-colored world itself, like infinite, teeming, mocking life. Thou visored, vast, unspeakable show and lesson.
That was from a 1992 Symphony Space event on the anniversary of Whitman's death. And I believe that they said it was a 12-hour-long event.
Twelve,
I heard that in the clip, right?
Hours.
Well, one side effect of there being a kind of cult of personality around a historical figure like this is the misinformation that can proliferate about them. It's almost like myth-making, right?
Especially since it relates to Whitman, the myth has been conflated with the actual man. Let's take a listen for a moment to this 1954 broadcast clip on historic literary voices.
Our oldest recording is of Walt Whitman. It was made in 1890, 2 years before his death. It's not much more than a snippet, 4 lines from his poem, America.
America, center of equal daughters, equal sons. All alike and good. Grown, ungrown, young or old. Strong, ample, fair, enduring, capable, yet perennial with the earth, with freedom, law, and love.
I'm going to repeat the four lines. Center of equal daughters, equal sons, all alike endeared, grown, upgrown, young or old, strong, ample, fair, enduring, capable, rich, perennial with the earth, with freedom, law, and love.
Okay, so that hard to distinguish voice in the middle there, that very noisy part there, was that actually a recording of Whitman?
If only it were so, I wish. But the evidence suggests otherwise. Here's an excerpt of a report I did for Studio 360 in 2001 about these types of what I call phonographic fraud. But it turns out that it's actually an actor named Len Spencer, a man billed at the time as specially trained for phonographic reproductions. Spencer recorded for Columbia and other labels and was also the voice of American socialist leader Eugene V. Debs in this turn-of-the-century recording.
The handwriting is on all the billboards of the universe. The worst in socialism will be better than the best in capitalism.
There's no indication that Debs ever delivered this speech in any of his campaigns. Did people know they were being fooled? Probably not. Still, these recordings, along with those that some people claim are Walt Whitman, Harriet Beecher Stowe, and Presidents Cleveland and Harrison, continue to circulate and occasionally show up in the documentaries of lazy or wicked producers.
Wait, so this was just some guy doing an impression? Who is this guy?
Correct. It was probably a period actor, possibly Len Spencer, who, like some folks today, took some liberties with what was the new media at the time.
When was it figured out that this recording could not have been Whitman?
Well, it was actually, it wasn't until the early 1990s when Professor Alan Konigsberg of Brooklyn College, a historian of sound recordings, he published an article debunking the Whitman recording as a hoax. But also in 1992, the New York Times published a piece that was squarely of two minds on the matter. And it cited experts who believed that it could be real and those who thought it was of dubious origin. The fact was that the recitation was an obscure Whitman poem. The fact that it was this obscure Whitman poem was seen by some, or at least suggested to some, of a sign of authenticity.
So how did they decide that the recording could not have really been him after all?
Well, it's really not an exact science, but the audio quality of a recording can tell you a lot about how old it is. And since some early recordings, or most early recordings, were done acoustically, that is, without electricity or microphones, they had a limited range of sound. And several experts are of the belief that there just are some vocal frequencies that shouldn't be as prominent in the recording for it to have been done at the end of the 19th century.
Okay, more radio gold from our archives. Andy Lancet, thank you as always. And if listeners want to learn more about New York Public Radio's archives, where can they go?
Well, to hear more past programs, they can click on the archive collections link at the bottom of the WNYC.org homepage. And also, if I can add an additional point, listeners can subscribe to the New York Public Radio History Notes e-newsletter by going to wnyc.org/newsletters.
The newsletter's a great one. Thank you so much, Andy.
Thank you.
And listeners, on Friday, what would have been Walt Whitman's 200th birthday, we're going to do an even deeper dive from his impact on American literary expression to the last standing Whitman residence in Brooklyn to some controversial aspects of his legacy. So that's Friday's show. I'll be here. Tune in then.